So this episode of the podcast only features Mark because I kind of went comatose and I totally fucked up the setting of my alarm to wake me up. So it kind of woke me up an hour late, 10 seconds after Mark finished recording. I'm sorry.
Welcome to With the Wool Podcast. We're here to entertain, inform, but we'll talk about Digimon. I'm Mark, I run With the Will and produce Digimon on Blu-ray. Dev is delayed a hair, so it'll be just me, and we'll start with the news and then swing back to Beat Break once she's around. In Easter weekend, I know a lot of people had plans and other stuff. Plus, fun week of new Beat Break episode and some news. We will swing back to Beat Break stuff and jump to some of the other news we have. So first up, a good number of anniversaries in the past week. 25th anniversary of Tamers. Starting to see some anniversary products and other stuff there. Hit a nice big round number. We'll see what else shows up as the year goes by, because that's what will probably be the big focus anniversary-wise for this year. The 26th anniversary of Digimon Adventure 02. It had plenty of stuff last year. We expect it to be a light anniversary year for 02. Another big anniversary year is 20th anniversary for Savers. Probably not as big as something like Tamers, but we know we're getting some extra card stuff for it. And probably a few things will show up at Annabirth and a few other places. I also wouldn't be shocked if we got one of the special edition model kits from Premium Bandai with the nice finish and everything. 6th anniversary of Digimon Adventure 2020. It's always hard to gauge what they're going to do with 2020 because it fits into just doing generic adventure stuff. But we've gotten a number of products lately. I think most recent things were a good number of cards in, I don't think it was AD1. I think it was it EX11? Decent stuff, and yeah, chat also pointed out that it feels weird that this is 6 years old. And then last up is the 24th anniversary of Digimon Frontier. It feels like that one's hitting people harder than Tamers, because Frontier feels sort of like the end of that original period. And we actually are getting some neat Frontier stuff around now. Like, we're getting the Magnagurumon Amplified Model Kit, which combines with Kaiser Greymon to make Susanumon, and just a neat little way to celebrate not even a big anniversary year for the franchise. That will be coming next year, so we'll see what pops up there. Continuing with the Tamers 25th, we got another teaser for the 25th anniversary Tamers art. No new full art, but silhouettes of the rest of the Tamers characters, which I want to see the rest of the art because it looks nice. It also feels like it makes up for around the 20th when there was so much bad art that we were mocking. So it's good to see it done, but definitely need to see more of them in full color and not the silhouettes. Then Digimon Up started its first social media campaign. This is follow them on Twitter and various other services, and they will, based on the number of followers, add various gacha tickets. I admit I was a little confused because it feels like a lot of people didn't realize it was going to be a gacha game until here, which, fair enough. We'll see if it's well-priced or not. It's definitely the type of thing where if it's a bit too manipulative, then it's not going to last very long, but we will see. I will start going over cards while we're waiting for Dev. So first up, Tidemon gets a very nice card of him in his sort of corrupted state when he's absorbed it from Time Stranger. Good dynamic art. I like the framing with the card. I think it works well. There's also a parallel art, which definitely is a bit more dynamic and very evil looking. It really works well. Although it's a bit busy for my likes. Then Armalizamon gets a card of him doing death roll press. I like when we get these freeze frames of moves that in animation tend to not show the character that well. because we kind of get the Sonic spin in the anime. Here we get like a freeze frame of him rolling, which is nice. We also get cards for Haimon and Fangmon. The Haimon card really is reminding everyone of the hyenas from The Lion King, which makes sense visually. And then the Fangmon with him running and the other two looks nice. Gaugamon gets a very nice regal card with a bit of comic styling to it. And on top of that, Mach Gaugamon gets a really nice flying dash type move, which works well for him. It's the type of card where I feel like it would work better if it was zoomed out and we saw him dashing at someone rather than just generically. But it's nice. Mirage Beast Knight is a screen cap card. I feel like the screen cap is a bit too foggy to work well, though, to be honest. It just doesn't have the crispness that you need for a screen cap card for it to work good. Deltamon and Orochimon both feature them hanging around with a Monodramon, and it feels like slightly goofier than you sometimes see with these Digimon. Or they're going to eat Monodramon. Either way, fun. Raremon and Dagomon both feature them coming out of the ocean. Raremon we get from a slightly abnormal angle. I like that it matches to a degree with the Dagomon pose. It works well in that case. Delumon, very fancier art for Delumon than we expect, but nice enough. The sparkles feel like a little much, but I actually like it. Bacchusmon feat starts with one of him and Sirenmon in the Gear Force Village, just going over the stuff of the day like they do in the game, which is fun. And we also get a parallel card of Bacchusmon sucking in food, which I think is charging up for Reverse of the Dead. It has the comic styling that a lot of the Olympus 12 art has, and the background works really well here, clashing with the green and pink. It works. This is good. They detailed the food really heavily for this one. Lunamon, cartoony art of it sitting on one of the roofs of Central Town. Then we get her evolved form of Dianamon. The pose feels like that. Was it the victory pose from Cyber Sleuth? I don't remember. It's a very familiar looking pose for the character, though. And then we get a much more action-oriented card for the parallel card, which has the comic styling. I can't remember what... This is a shot that I feel like I see in anime a decent bit, but I can't think of an exact example. Where, like, the hero's looking up from the ground a bit. It's just very dynamic and works. I just like it a lot. Then we move over for starter deck cards. We get Pristimon. Pristimon's head seems extra large here. That's not a complaint. It's just amusing. Wolvermon is one we saw previews of early. I think it was on the packaging for it. I'm not entirely sure, but I know we have seen it before. I think it was on the cover, though. After Wolvermon, Trotmon, which this pose, it just keeps reminding me of like what a Sonic the Hedgehog pose. I can't describe it past that. It feels like box art Sonic in some way. I'm never sure how I feel about when Trotmon's wearing the full hoodie and everything, and they try to angle the camera to show the mouth. Leomon gets a nice little standing in a sunny field. I don't know how to feel about this one, because this one fits in the weird vein of filler character where they make it there so it's a lower level, except it's probably never going to show up in anything of consequence, so it's sort of just a bit of filler card. But the art is very nice. I feel like this is one of the more even artworks from Koki, especially with the background and everything. It just works well. Then we get Monarch Lizamon. This one, it's odd because the angle makes it feel a bit more raptory than it does in other art. At least that's the way I would describe it. And it's a bit, the battle scene's a bit hard to be 100% sure what is happening. It's neat art. This one is not in the card roll because it showed up so late. So this one will be in the podcast notes if you're watching on YouTube, and you can grab it. Let me throw a link there so you guys can at least grab it right now. Let's see here. Yeah, there that is. Yeah, so it feels like one where it's been knocked back in a battle. Or maybe even a bit more Rise Greymon inspired art-wise in this one. Card battle featured an AD1 match, and we got to see Chiba in his Kaiser Greymon. It's not quite a helmet. It's that paper mache hat thing he's worn before. But always fun to see it. For Beat Break, a new wave of products featuring the characters wearing suits. Annie Plus announced they are doing these and releasing them in late June. Pre-orders are open now. So the art for these is you have Tomuro in a suit wearing it slightly more casually with no tie. Reina mostly playing it straightforward, minus only having one sock, which a lot of people noticed. Makoto has him, you know, doing almost like a butler type pose. And Reina also has shorts, as a few people point out. And Kyo, it's a very Kyo pose. This is one that one complaint we've had about the Beat Break product art is the Digimon often aren't integrated into it that well. This time they give them each a bandana that matches the character, that matches the styling, but with their own colors. My only issue with the bandanas is Trotmon and Marasimon in some of the art, it's kind of covered up by their partner. So it works, but like the Geckomon and Pristimon ones work a bit better. The products are acrylic stands, acrylic keychains, square can badges, and what they call two-way acrylic coasters. I'm not 100% sure what the two-way is. I assume it's the hole punch there, which probably can be used as a keychain or a decoration. Good prices, and only the can badges are blind boxed. So these are pre-order now. Then, this was a bit of a surprise because if any pop-up store corner stuff was going to be announced right now, you would expect it to be Tamers or Savers. Instead, we get a Frontier one, which is Tea Party themed. So it'll be at the EO Anime Culture Center April 30th. The Tea Party art, I call it anime styled. It's a bit more textured, although some of the texture does feel a bit off. But it features the six kids, Bokomon and Amon, can badges, acrylic keychains, acrylic stands, character clear cases, and a nice clear poster. Then for a second art style, the characters are in the same poses, but in the graph art artwork, which is always nice to see with that sort of chalk graffiti art. So that is can badges, mini acrylic stands, the clear cases, and the accessory case. The art for everyone is very good. I like the little touches showing off the Digimon in the food and drinks and outfits in various places. And I love the Junpei having the cake with the Patamon decoration on it. It just works really well. It's a nice little shop. It just feels strange when it feels like this is the perfect time for Tamers or Savers. But we'll see. It feels like those have to get plenty this year. So just a bit odd for Frontier this time. Then a few product pre-order updates. We're doing affiliate links for Hobby Genkai. They've put up pre-orders for the 25th Color Evolution D-Arcs and the Digimon Pendulum Color Godzilla V-Pets. Nothing much to say there, minus, you know, affiliate links gets us a bit of kickback and just makes it a bit easier for people to pre-order. And on top of that, Premium Bandai USA has put up pre-orders for the D-Arcs also. They've done very abnormally short pre-order periods where they keep closing and reopening them, probably because they're trying to figure out to make the shipping period shorter by doing it in shorter batches. On top of that, the pre-orders have gone up for the Precious Gem re-release of Beelzebubon and Behemoth. There's no change that we know of from the original figure. This is just a re-release. let's see, I think this came out in early 2020, so about 6 years later, and they're reusing some of the key art, which spells Behemoth wrong. The actual box, I believe, had it spelled correctly. We expect that to be here. Very expensive at about, after exchange rates, about $300 or so. But I know a lot of people missed it last time, so I expect a decent number of people pre-ordering this time. Poll results for the favorite Digimon added to the reference book from Supercross Wars. Aramon won with about 24% of the vote. Nothing super exciting with this one. Mostly just looking at the different things and wondering, like, I kind of would have expected Burst Mode to do better than Armamon, to be honest. Just because it's that sort of crazy, overly complicated design that a lot of people like, and it's the, you know, final extra boss type character. I kind of wonder if changing the name hit it down a little bit. I'm not 100% sure, though. Cross 4S and Cross 5S cannibalized each other a bit, which isn't that much of a shock. It just, yeah, overall pretty easy. No wild swerves for the numbers this time. And then the various weekend stuff. So first up, the Toei online store got in their stock of the premium crest set, so they showed a nice promo image of that in the mini music box. Ayumi Miyazaki put up a few photos. The first was people were rushing and busy to the end of the fiscal year. He wanted to say a great job to everyone, so he decided to show them a photo to laugh at. It was a concert from Malaysia in January. His dressing room did not have his name on it. It just said Digimon, which amused him. He also showed a photo from Taipei, noting it's been 8 years since last time he was there. He's looking forward to being at the concert venue tomorrow, which yesterday at this point. Then it's the 10th anniversary of the passing of Wada Koji. Number of people shared things on social media. A few relevant franchise figures. Volcano Oda posted a number of things from Wada Koji events, noting, you know, it's been 10 years. Feels like it's been a year since they did that concert event. And it feels like time really has flown. And a lot of people have noted it doesn't feel like 10 years. And AIM posted a photo of a butterfly. And she just said a few nice things. Just, you know. And it really does not feel like it's been 10 years. It's one of those things where, like, time is compressed. For card art, this is what appears to be the last bit of social media art that the official accounts are doing for Liberator. It's Yuki running off and Impmon waving bye and saying see ya after a 2-year run of Liberator and various social media art. It's been a fun little weekly thing to see and be sad to see go. I love how it's just an SD Yuki running away, though. It's just good. For the 25th anniversary of Tamers, Asmaria retweeted an old post he did of art of Ruki and Renamon. Really gorgeously done. It's always funny when we see him not doing mech stuff and his art looks entirely different. It just always is fun. Then, as a fun surprise, we also heard from Yu Yuan Wang, who drew the various Digimon Tamers manhwa in China. He put up some Tamers art to celebrate the 25th anniversary. He put up a few versions of it. And it is amazing how much, like, his art was nice when the manhwa ran. It's even better now. Especially seeing the line art works really well. Then we get some social media artwork. So for Tamers, we get everyone having a picnic outside of Gilmon home. I don't have much to say about this one. It's just really nice. Like, we get Terramon with the melon pan. We get Gilmon with the bread roll. We get Renamon with the... And I forgot what the act... It was some sort of energy drink. I don't remember what it actually was in the show, though. And they also have the little tamer flag next to them. Only thing I can say about this one is some of the... Like, the coloring on some of Takato and Ruki feels almost a little too subdued. But very fun. And yeah, chat's pointing out the only real complaint with this one is it feels like he should be trying to eat Gilmon bread. I wonder if they decided if the angling just wasn't going to work that well. This was also the April social media art, where they put up new art on the 1st, no matter what they have to celebrate. So it counts as both. Then for the 20th anniversary of Digimon Savers, we get a nice little triple evolution art featuring them with their burst Digivices and little energy silhouette outlines of the ultimate forms of the Digimon. Very, very... This feels like exactly what you want to see for Saber's anniversary. The only way it would be better is if maybe they had done wider art and included some of the secondary characters. Yeah, since chat mentioned, I can see the complaint about the outfits since it's they're wearing their early show outfits. I think that fits for the anniversary arc because that's what most people recognize them in. You know, it doesn't need to be show perfect. I think it celebrates what, you know, people's memories of the show in a nice way. It's fun. I think it's good. I like how if you can, especially on Osaru's Digivice, if you look carefully, you can actually see the text on it. Then a bit of April Fool's art from Takira Kojima. This was before they announced the new arc stuff for Beat Break. He joked the next art was going to be the maid arc and put up art of Makoto in a maid outfit, which is one of the more in-depth April Fool's jokes we've gotten from Digimon in a while. Then missed art from episode 24. Koiketo put up art showing, you know, they had worked on episode 24. They did a little sketch showing off their credit. Really nice doing the white line art on black for Armalizamon. It just looks good. Then social media art for episode 25. Kojima put up art of Tealudomon and Stella. I can't decide if it's more fun having him post before with art of characters that we've seen before, or if it'd be more fun having him post after art of the episode. I feel like typing up the show works better this way. Then Akimini Aki posted art of Petermon. Very nice, subtle coloring. It just looks nice. And director Kakuto had previously teased we'd see his name at some point on Beat Break. He did the storyboards for the new episodes. Since Dev still isn't here, we're going to wait on doing the talking about the episode till she's around, which may be next time. So let's go back to do the Beat Break art for now, the preview and the artwork. So first up, next episode is going to be episode 26, The Taste of Guilt. We get the return of a few characters, and people are very excited to see Elizamon in Beat Break. First time that character will be animated. And I can't decide if the teasing of it being like Iron Chef is going to be minimal or if that is going to be a big thing in the episode. I don't know which I would prefer, to be honest. But fun, regardless. Then various bits of Beat Break news. First up, Digimon Beat Break was nominated for the 2026 Crunchyroll Anime Awards for Best Original Anime. I like it being nominated. I don't like the category it's nominated for. I don't know everything in this category. I'm just not familiar with all of them, but at least two of them feel like it is not true to the category, which is that it's not based on anything. Beat Break obviously is part of a 25-plus-year-old franchise at this point. The crew has talked about how they were given lists of characters to Digimon to try to include. It just feels like it's not really the category. The Gundam show that's included as one of them in the same category is a what if, where like it the starting point of that universe is something different happens from another Gundam show. Both of them feel like they do not really fit the category to me. It feels like both have better categories to fit in, which I just I like it being nominated. I don't like it being nominated for the category, especially since the description of the category would definitely agree it does not really apply. So I would prefer it be nominated in another category just because it does not fit here. And I like chat saying Digimon Beat Break is what if Digimon can't eat food. Then we got the gift arc announced for after the interlude arc. The initial teaser showed a character with a pendant and looking at a Sapotama with Tomuro and Gekkoman. We also get a description of the warped world, the Holy Egg. The art here shows the character somewhat stylized to where you can definitely see the resemblance to Eugen. They don't actually look like Eugen, but there is a resemblance in this art, especially with the coloring. We got some clarity as to what the character looks like in the ED3, Mirror Mirror by Yena, which started being used in the new episode. That shows the character definitely does not look like Eugen. It just, that art just looked a bit off. Very nice end theme. It shows off various girls from the cast, a number of whom we haven't fully met yet, and a number of whom were actually just relatively small characters. The one was, I don't even remember her name. It was Hitomi's friend from the one around episode 8 or so. So yeah, very fun ending. I need to hear the full song to decide what I think of it, though. So we'll see when that pops up. But definitely worth a listen since we have the TV-sized version. Then, from before episode 25 aired, we got episode 24 production art of Tomro, Raito, and Honoka, who's done by Takiro Kojima, who's the character designer. We got to see line test battle of the Marnark, Lizamon, and Progonomon fight. After that, we got a very nice behind-the-scenes video for the Beat Break opening. It had the opening three times. It storyboards, pencil line tests, and then those side-by-side with the finished versions. Very, very neat extra. Director Miyamoto posted a follow-up to it. He noted that storyboards that he's worked on haven't generally been publicly released, so he likes seeing them side-by-side like that. It makes it easier to understand the process for people, he thinks. And you get to see the little, you know, differences that led to the final one, which he thinks makes it a bit more fulfilling. They also put up a 12-minute long video with all the 30-second previews from the first 24 episodes of the show. And then, moving on from that, we'll go to questions and then see if Dev shows up or not. If not, we will talk about the episode next time with the Commandramon and Elizamon one. So in chat, you guys can throw in questions and I'll just answer them. And let's see. So the first one says, should the next anime for Digimon be a show or a movie? It depends when it's starting. Like, for the 30th anniversary of the franchise, I could almost see doing, like, a short mini-series and just doing something different, I think would be kind of fun, to be honest. Then someone asked, what retro games do you personally think of as a good start for someone who hasn't really played them much? Whatever you have access to, honestly. Like, if you can get the Mega Man games cheaply, grab those. If you can't, then don't. There's so many retro games out there. Find what looks good to you and just play. You will definitely find something. Then someone asked, what do you want to see for the 30th anniversary of Digimon next year? For the 30th, I feel like after they've done so many color V-Pets, do a 30th anniversary Digimon color and do it like the 20th anniversary, where it's the color, but with stuff from just stuffing as much as you can. Let's see, Tyrant Iron Fist was, what anime adaptation of a Digimon manga do you want to see? I mean, the easy answer is V-Tamer, but there's been so much manga at this point. I'm trying to think, what would I want that would not be V-Tamer? I feel like the actual answer is either Dreamers or the Story of the Royal Knights. Story of the Royal Knights, I feel like you could do really well as just a few, like, 3-minute web animations. You could do them really cute, have them as shorts on YouTube or wherever. Just get one or two actors, and you could do it really fun. Since someone in chat mentioned Paradox, Paradox, I think, would make a very good, like, 1-hour web OVA special. I think a lot of the Digimon comic releases would work good as just do 30 minutes to an hour, and hell, you could do them all and do it as like an anthology. That would work nicely. Then someone asked, what is something fun from when the Digimon anime first came to the US that current fans don't know? I think the one that a lot of current fans don't know is just how much stuff there was, because a lot of people think it wasn't popular, and like, there were times when it would outrank Pokemon on TV. And if you had a KB or a Toys R Us near you, the Digimon section was probably massive. if you're old enough to have been around in, you know, 2000 and gone to those stores, the Digimon sections would have been almost ludicrously sized. Just row after row of toys and products everywhere. I think there was, I could be wrong, but I think KB Toys had a promo VHS where if you bought two or three Digimon toys together, you got like a VHS of a couple episodes of season one, and it was also like toy ads. I'm trying to remember if I know they did that for Transformers, but I think they did it for Digimon season one also. Meta Knight asks, since April Fool's Day just passed, what was the funniest episode of the Digimon anime series for me? Funniest. I think, based on my mood, somewhere between, it would probably be a dub episode of O2. I'm just trying to think of which one. Because there were so many episodes of that that had good gags and just had the characters running around acting crazy. But none specifically come to mind. There's definitely some good wackiness in Tamers that I feel like people gloss over sometimes. Like the Leomon introduction episode with Juri chasing after him. I feel like people sleep on that one as just being funny and weird. But definitely something from O2. Last chance for questions in chat. Someone said, do you think the big DLC for Time Change is a good idea, or should it have been a spin-off game? It probably should have been a spin-off game, but after the Hacker's Memory ended up having some issues, especially with sales in Japan, I can see them being kind of gun-shy doing that again. And just trying to sell Time Stranger makes more sense. Because even if it's a huge, big, expensive DLC, you can do a cheap bundle with the game. You can make it so it isn't that hard to get for people. You can do a new physical edition that includes the DLC and, you know, have new box art to make it look new if you want. Fantasy Roulette, what is your thoughts on Habakirimon and potentially Gekkomon's ultimate being revealed ahead of the anime as cards? I think it depends on when we see them. Like, so Habakirimon was introduced at Digimon Con. They don't really say it. They do the thing where, like, they introduce it. Everyone teases what it is, but they never actually say it's Murasumon, even though it's obvious it is. And then we know they're announcing something tomorrow on Terrymon Assistant Lab. If Gekkomon's ultimate is shown there, I don't have an issue with the stuff being introduced early. My concern is it's too early. Like, we just got Monarch Lizamon last week. When would we expect a Gekkomon evolution to show up? Like, it doesn't feel like it'd be happening for a while, at least. Minimum 10-ish episodes. We'll see. Chat's wondering if Habakirimon will be shown quickly after the interlude arc. I don't think you're wrong there. I'm just trying to decide how quickly. It feels like it's hard to gauge because they like to find ways to sideline Kyo and Murasumon to not let the other characters deal with stuff. That is the end of questions. So I think what we're going to do is, since Dev's not here, we will wait and go over episode 25, Half-Baked Heroes, with her next time. Oh, someone in chat asked, what about Night Trotmon and Wolvermon? It feels like they will probably show up in the early episodes of the Gift Arc, because you kind of want everyone to be able to battle. But since chat wants, how about we go over Half-Baked Hero a little bit? We'll go over it in more detail with Dev next time, but let's go over it a little bit here before we stop. So we get, everyone starts off relaxing in the pool on a cruise. And I like them pointing out that, you know, it's they got a ton of money for beating Clay. Their reward is to pamper. And the first thing they do is they, like I said, they get rid of Kyo and Kugurumon. They have them resting, which is fun. Makoto and Trotmon are off watching a tokusatsu-themed stage show. And this is where most of the episode focuses on is Starman, which is Starmon with a human partner doing a tokusatsu stage show. Makoto and Trotmon are both very excited to see them. And this is also where Makoto acts so mature, people definitely forget that he's 10 years old watching the show, because he feels almost more mature than Tomuro and Reina. And then we quickly get pirates led by Petermon, and everyone gets put to sleep. So we deal with them trying to stop Petermon and the pirates, and the Starman duo, like the human partner Honda, really does not want to deal with this stuff because they're not really heroes. He tries to explain it, that Meteor Squall doesn't really work that well. And Makoto points out, you know, people are brave because of what they tried to do, even if they don't know the whole story. It's a good lesson. I'm not sure it's done as well as it could have, to be honest. And then Petermon is not going to give up on all that E-Pulse. Starmon tries to fight even without Honda. The funny part for me is when they do the where like he's controlling them, but also like Tomuro keeps moving the skylight without being ordered, even though he can't see since he's asleep. Then we get Honda jumping and grabbing Petermon before he can escape, and his E-Pulse activates. I thought Starmon was going to evolve into Super Starmon, to be honest. I don't mind just the glowing blue heroic one, but I feel like an evolution would have worked really well there. The episode doesn't quite... It has everyone wake up, and then it kind of just has everyone back home, and Reina's freaking out because they were sent the damage claims from fighting the pirates. This is where it kind of goes back to... It wants to be taken as a serious show, but then it immediately does the showing at 9 a.m. on a Sunday and they lost all the money because, yeah, they have to kick it back to the status quo, which is interesting to me because I don't know that them having money would actually change anything. It just would make it so they couldn't make the "we're broke" gags, because it's not like they were going to move. They also mentioned Petermon's bounty went to Starman. Tomuro points out they didn't really do anything. It was Makoto and Troutmon anyways. And Troutmon's just excited to see Starman on the news. It's a good, fun episode. I actually don't know if I like them advertising it as an interlude arc. It gives the feeling of being unimportant, even though, like, next week feels like an important one because it follows up on one of the better episodes, I think. So we will see. I would have liked something more for Makoto other than he's a kid. And yeah, as Chad points out, yeah, we're getting Harumi next week, and that was an important thing. So we'll see that next week. The guest cast here is stacked with people. So Honda is played by Soichiro Hoshi, who's best known to Digimon fans as Masaru from Digimon Savers. We can't go through all of his roles because he plays so many people, probably best known as Kira Yamato in Gundam Seed. And in dubbed over content, he was actually Andros in Power Rangers in Space. Starmon is Takeshi Kusao. His roles in Digimon are very long. So first up, Revolmon in Adventure 02. In Cross Wars, he was Kiriha, Ballistamon, Greymon, Cyberdramon, Bogdramon, and the Watchmaker. And in Digimon 2020, they were Joe. He's also been a few of the Ninja Turtles in dubbed over stuff. And he was Baxter Stockman in the most recent movie. Petermon was voiced by Yumika Kobayashi. She was Koshiro in 2020, Espimon in Ghost Game, and various characters in the Adventure PSP game. Based on how much stuff we have next Monday, we may try and discuss this one a bit more when Dev is around. So a bit of a different episode since Dev was not able to make it here in time. I will pick a Wikimon article. Let's go head over to Wikimon to pick an article for people to read. You know, since it was a Petermon episode, the only one we have not seen in this series is, how about Captain Hookmon? Because we've seen Tinkermon, we've seen Petermon. Captain Hookmon we got in Ghost Game, but we did not get here. I can be found at With the Will as always. Thank you everyone for showing up. Dev should be back next week. I will catch you guys all later. Bye.